We're in space on the PowerPoint. Did you see that? We have a new program to sort of add some activity to the screen and liven it up a little bit. And you'll see us probably playing with that here and there for the Trekkies. Hopefully you had a good afternoon. We had some family here and a couple people having Charlton's one-year-old birthday party. His was the first, but we were gone and things, so we couldn't have it till the 12th. But I did hear an update about Mark Crane. He's supposedly going to have his procedure sometime tomorrow afternoon. A pacemaker? Is that what they decided? Okay. And certainly, as I mentioned this morning, be praying for Rose Hetchler's family. Her sister Bunny has very, very serious cancer issues basically all throughout her. One doctor said 3 weeks to live. One doctor said maybe longer. Nobody really knows for sure. So that's pretty serious, pretty significant. So be praying for them. And if you would, just bow your heads and we'll have a prayer. Lord God, we come before you tonight and we are glad that you are our God. Lord, that we're not caught up in some weird religion of some false God, but Father, we are worshiping you tonight, the true and living God. And Lord, we are thankful for that, and we're thankful that we can talk to you and communicate to you anytime we want. And Lord, we are coming before you and we are bringing the request of Mark and his upcoming procedure tomorrow with this pacemaker. Lord, we know he's been struggling with a number of issues and energy and pains. Maybe this would be part of the answer to help him on his road to recovery. So Lord, just watch over him, guide the doctors and nurses as they plan this for tomorrow sometime. Lord, we also think of Bunny and the situation she has found herself in. Lord, a very difficult situation for the last few years with the car accident and losing her husband and probably other things. So, Lord, we know she's going to likely get discouraged. And we know there's family that are not born again. They are atheists, Father. And we know that you could work through Bunny's testimony to lead those people to Christ. And Lord, we would also pray for tonight that your blessing would be over the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Is somebody hiding my Bible on me? Wasn't it sitting over there? Where was it sitting? I have the verses printed in my notes, but where I thought I saw it. Somebody moved it on me. Somebody's playing a joke. That's fine. Marty, was that you getting back at me this morning? Did June mind? She's so mad. Well, this morning we started in the book of 1 Peter. Did I set it out there? Is that where it was in front of the secretaries? That little ledge? Thank you. I could have gotten through without it, but it's nice to have it here. I thought I saw it laying somewhere and pictured in my mind, but well, this morning we began a study in the book of 1 Peter. And we also began to see an emphasis, a Peter's emphasis, on being separate from the world, upon being different from the world, how we are strangers in this world. And I think there is a reason why he was so concerned with the concept of being a stranger in the world. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 26. We're going to see a situation that likely led to Peter being so concerned with being a stranger in the world. And I think we're going to learn how to stop blending in with the world. And we're going to learn, hopefully, how to take a stand for Jesus, even if the crowd is hostile. So if you have that, find Matthew chapter 26. Look through and find verse 31. Verse 31. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered and said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble.' Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' And so said all the disciples." Matthew 26 is the detailed description of the events leading up to Christ's death. It's basically the night before he was to be crucified. It tells us about the Last Supper, which was the very first communion. Jesus told the disciples that they would all run away from him. He told us about Judas was going to betray him. It talks about the prayer in the garden. Remember, and the three of them went with him, and they fell asleep while he was praying, and these great drops of blood came off his head. It talks about the fake trial. I think Matthew is where it talks about Peter getting a little bit zealous and chopping off Malchus' ear, Jesus healing it, and then it gets to Peter's denial. Scan ahead and find verse 69. It says, "Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.'" That was the good recognition, right, Bonnie? That first one, the girl saying, "Yeah, you're a believer, you're a Christian." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are also one of them. Your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I don't know the man." And immediately, a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. There are three reasons why Peter chose to blend in with the world and become a citizen of the world when he should have been a stranger. The first one is, Peter did not heed the word of God. Peter did not heed the word of God. In verses 31 and 35, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, what? "The sheep of the flock will be scattered." Now, we know from the Bible that Jesus is the shepherd and the disciples are the sheep, and they were to run away, essentially. They were to scatter before he was crucified. But Peter, you know, he's sort of this bold guy, this guy that likes to stick his foot in his mouth, and he says, "I'm never going to leave you." Jesus says, "Hey, Peter, not only will you leave me, but you're going to deny me if you show back up here," right? He didn't put that "if" because Jesus was certain it was going to happen. But sort of, he was putting the ball back in Peter's court. But Peter doesn't listen. So as the events of the night unfolded, what does verse 58 say? We didn't read that, but it says, "Peter followed Jesus at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see what? The end." He wanted to know the outcome of this trial and everything. Have you ever wanted to see an outcome of an event so bad that you decided to follow up on it? Maybe some of you guys, for instance, you saw a fire truck or an ambulance drive by your house, and you ran out to the car and you hopped in. And I'm going to see what's going on with that. And maybe you did this sometime a few years ago. Remember when that big tornado came through Fenton? I remember I was living at the parsonage there, and they had police officers blocking Fenton, and you had to show your driver's license and prove that you had an address here in town because they wanted to stop those gawkers. They wanted to stop those people that were coming to look, and all the news channels from Saginaw to Detroit were reporting on Fenton, and there was helicopters, and crowds of people wanted to see what was happening, and the police were doing their best to avoid this congestion and confusion. But the roadblocks would not have been necessary if the people listened to the news reports. They said, stay out of Fenton. And Peter would never have fallen into sin if he simply would have listened to Jesus and scattered. If he would not have followed Jesus Christ into this courtyard of the house of this high priest, he never would have had the opportunity or the occasion to deny his Lord. You know, sometimes one of the biggest reasons that we find ourselves in bad situations and resort to blending in with the crowd is because we didn't heed the word of God. 2 Corinthians 6 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. The word of God says, be separate from unbelievers. Do not participate in the sinful things that they're doing. Why do we sometimes do it anyway? What things are we involved with that are accepted by most of the world as okay, but according to God's word, are not okay? I submit to you that the reason why so many Christians have heartaches and disappointments is because they refuse to heed the word of God. You want to be happy? Heed the word of God. That's one of my favorite lines of my favorite hymn, 349, Trust and Obey. If you want to be happy, trust and obey. You want to be content? You want to have all your needs provided for? Live within the boundaries of this book. You want to spend eternity in heaven and in the very presence of God? Believe these words. Very vital, very critical. For us to change, for us to grow in our relationship with God, we must take this book seriously. We must heed the words of Scripture. There's a second way to blend in with the crowd. First way is, don't listen to the word of God. The second way to blend in with the crowd is to think only of ourselves and our comfort. Look at verse 69 in Matthew 26. What was Peter doing there? Sitting by what? Courtyard? And maybe it's not that verse. Doesn't it say something like he was warming himself by a fire? Am I totally wrong? I am? I thought where is it? It's somewhere right around there. Doesn't it say he went and warmed himself by a fire? Maybe that's the account from Luke. Okay. Well, he's sitting in this courtyard, and he denies knowing Jesus. And he basically says, I don't know this Jesus that you speak of. John 18 tells us that later on in the night, Peter's standing next to this fire because it's apparently cold. And Peter's again asked whether or not he knows Christ. Now, Peter has a motivation for denying Jesus. I believe he has a motivation here. He doesn't want to get arrested. Doesn't want to be beat up. He doesn't want to be put on trial like Jesus. He can see that Jesus' trial is a mockery. It's a sham. It's totally against the law. And if Jesus can be violated like this, his rights violated like this, well, then his could too. So Peter's thinking of his own personal safety. A story is told of two gas company servicemen, a senior training supervisor about ready to retire and a young trainee just out of college, and they were checking some meters in a neighborhood, and they parked their truck at the end of an alley, and they worked from house to house, and at the last house, a woman was standing there looking out her kitchen window, and she saw the two gas men walk up to her house and look at her meter, and after those two men were finished checking the meter, the older man told the younger man, he said, "I bet I can beat you in a race back to the truck." You know, he wanted to prove that he could still beat this younger man. As they came up to the truck, they realized that lady from the last house was huffing and puffing right behind them. And they stopped and asked what was wrong. As she's sitting there gasping for breath, she replied, "When I see two gas men running as hard as you were, I figure I better run too." You know, as important as our personal safety is to us, should our need for comfort and safety ever cause us to deliberately ignore Scripture? So many times we think of our own comfort. Well, if I don't do this, if I don't do that, I won't feel right. Well, you know, if I don't do this, then somebody might make fun of me. If I don't watch this show, then I'm not going to know what everybody else is talking about. You know, those are excuses that are used by Christians so that they can fit in. Be friends with the world. But there's something that's far more important than our comfort and making sure that we fit in. That is following every command that God gives us. That's observing the principles that the Bible clearly lays out. You know, blending in with the crowd and becoming a citizen of this earth, it may be easy, it may be comfortable, it may be the safe thing to do, but God's not pleased. Romans 8:8, it says, "Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Basically, those are who are living according to their flesh and doing the things that they feel like doing. Listen to this, Ephesians 6:6, it says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." You see, we're not to worry about other people's eyes, we're to worry about God. First Thessalonians 4:1. "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God." That's our goal, please God. Not our friends. Not the world, certainly, right? But I've met a lot of people that's the only thing they care about is what their friends think. Some of you think, well, yeah, that was high school, junior high. I've seen it. People care about what their friends think. Hebrews 11:6, it says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Are we more concerned about our own comfort or about pleasing God? Now, there's a third way that I believe Peter blended in. He sort of became this citizen of the world, was that he allowed the wrong people to influence him. Look at verse 73. Matthew 26:73. "A little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you're one of them. Your speech betrays you.'" When we study ancient history and culture, especially in that area of the world, we find that people from Galilee, where Peter was from, they had an accent. And they knew that he was from that area. And people back then had accents just like they do now. We hear somebody talking, we know right away if they're from Boston. We know right away if they're from New York City. And then there's some folks like Louisiana is another place with strong accents. And is it like South Carolina on the coast that some of those folks have a really very thick accent? I met a guy, his name was Hans. And he was from that area, and he just had a very thick accent. And then people from Texas had an accent. I was born in Houston, and I moved to Michigan, I think, when I was 6 years old. And all these family members that were around my age and kids at school, they were, like, looking at me. I remember thinking, they asked me, like, why do you talk different? And as a five, six-year-old children would do, why do you talk different? I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. But eventually, that accent sort of faded away, but people thought I sounded funny. But just like that, those days, people knew that were standing around this campfire, Peter's not from around here. This guy's not from around here. Now, he could have kept his mouth shut, but he must have kept talking. Must have kept interacting, must have kept trying to fit in. He could have escaped being noticed, but he didn't. So one sin leads to another, and Peter eventually starts cursing and swearing. It was the crowd influencing him. He wanted to blend in. He wanted to not be noticed. You know, someday we might find ourselves in a bad position, in a stupid place, a place where Christians should not be. This is where Peter was, found himself in the courtyard of the high priest that was putting Jesus on trial. A disciple of Jesus should not have been there. Certainly shouldn't have been there trying to fit in. So Peter's there. He's blending in. He's not heeding the word of God. He's thinking only of his own safety. He's allowing people, this crowd, to influence him. Thankfully, we know the story does not end there. After Jesus came back to life, he confronted Peter. I think it was a miraculous setting, if I recall correctly. Jesus was on the beach and Peter had been fishing. He figured, well, I've denied knowing Christ. He probably doesn't want to talk to me anymore. I'm just going to go back to my old job. And Peter ends up, I believe he jumps off the boat when he realizes it's Jesus on shore. And there's this exchange between them. Do you love me? Do you remember this story? It's towards the end of Matthew. Well, this is in the end of Matthew too, but even farther. Or maybe it's John or Luke. I could be messed up. But they ask him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? And what that was Jesus restoring that relationship with Peter. And Peter obviously would go on to become one of the greatest leaders of the early church. In fact, I think there is more written about him, apart from Jesus, there's more written about him than anybody else in the Bible. I mean, we'd all be thinking Paul, wouldn't we? It's Peter. And the Gospels, Peter is constantly being talked to and talked about. It's not until Acts that we start interacting with Paul. But Peter became one of the greatest leaders in the early church, and many people, we could never guess how many people accepted Jesus as their Savior because of Peter's ministry. But in order for him to do all these great things, he had to come to that conclusion that he was a chosen one of God and that he was a stranger in this world and that he was going to be different than the crowd. He had to come to that decision. Seems like we're getting done really early. Those songs were quick, huh? There were some short choruses. that's what I was doing the other day. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. Luann said, hey, we don't have songs picked out for the next couple Sunday nights. So I started looking for some fun choruses that we don't sing very often. And those are some choruses that I remember as a child that I had, that I always enjoyed. And I thought, you know, my children usually sit in church. I thought they'd like to hear them and learn them. And so they ended up being pretty short. But that's okay. We can still have a decision time after looking at the Word of God. Do we want to be known around town as the Christian who fits in? Or do we want to be known as the person who genuinely loves and follows the Lord? That's a stranger in the land. I almost wore, and I should have changed my shirt because I have Charlton drool all over. But I was going to wear a camouflage shirt tonight because us hunters, we get on some camouflage when we want to blend in. It's especially important when you're hunting turkeys. They have some of the greatest eyesight. You know, they don't have smell. Like deer can smell, but turkeys, you have to have good camouflage. And a lot of these camouflages that these companies are selling, it's very interesting. They look good to the human eye. Did you know that? They look good to the human eye, but to the eye of an animal that sort of sees with different wavelengths or whatever, some of them you have a haze, a glow around you. And did you know it's even important what detergent you use? Did you know Tide and all the detergents, what they have in them is they don't actually clean your clothes. Okay, I'm shattering everybody's hopes and dreams right now. They don't actually clean your clothes, Bonnie. What they have in them is optical brighteners. Remember the things that says they make your whites whiter and your brights brighter? That's all they're doing. They're not washing all that old dead skin cells and everything. You actually need a true soap or an enzyme to do that. And if you go out with these camouflage that look good to you, right? You go pick out the one that looks like corn stalks. They make camouflage that looks exactly like a corn stalk, and some of them even have a 3D corn pieces hanging off of it, okay? There's some with leaves hanging off of it. It looks great. To the deer, you're glowing, especially if you use the wrong detergent. You're not blending it at all. And there's some people that do that with the Lord. They think they're blending in, they think they're fitting in, but guess who sees them sort of a halo, this glow around them that they're obviously not? It's Jesus, right? He sees everything. He sees through all of our, whatever, masks. So we have to decide that we are not going to blend in, that we are going to be strangers in this world. For us to grow closer to Christ, for us to be strangers in this land, we must heed his word. We must not always seek our own comfort, and we must not be influenced by the wrong people. And if you need a recipe for a laundry detergent, I can give you that after church. Anybody have any questions? Kelly.
I just thought maybe you could expound on this a little bit, because when you talk about not in the world but we're not of it, I've known people that actually become very, very geeky and not accessible to the world that we live in, because we're supposed to be a friend to sinners, and you know, we have to be able to give testimony without being so
Yeah, I think it is a fine line that we can walk. I think we can be genuine and we can be real, but at the same time we can be what Christ wants us to be. But yeah, I've seen people that are so consumed with being different and separate. I remember one youth pastor this funny story. He kept inviting the barber. Everybody in town went to the same barber up in Vassar, and it was this guy named Paul, and he was Catholic. Well, he didn't actually go to church, but he said he was Catholic. And this youth pastor kept it from a very, very strict church that you got to be totally different. And he kept inviting him to church and said, "We're having special meetings." And he says, "No, I can't. I got to rake my leaves." Well, he found this barber's house and raked his leaves. Well, the barber's mom lived with him and called up the barber and said, "Hey, there's some guy out here in a suit and tie raking leaves." So, I mean, he did go to church, by the way, which was very good. So it was worth it. But, yeah, to me, it was like, hey, it was great that he was out there, but you can use common sense. You don't have to be out there in a suit and tie raking leaves just to let people know, hey, I'm the pastor, or I'm different than the world. You know, you can be, but then, you know, you can cross the line, too, and be a little crazy as well. So, and, you know, I've known people who are sound like they're Christians, and they got tattoos everywhere, and in your mind, you're like, well, you know, did you do that to try to fit in? Did you have that before you were saved? And, you know, some of those things can get a little, you can start wondering in your own mind as you're trying to work through that. And that's, I guess, common sense, and the Holy Spirit gives us some of that, hopefully. Any other questions, comments, disagreements? Tom. Apparently, scientists have studied how their eyes function, and they have an idea of how they can see. They see sort of in a different light spectrum. They can see some infrared things that we can't, and so you have to have just the right clothes. They have night vision, the military does. And at night, you can look through a thing, these optical. And I guess at Toys R Us, they have some cheapy one for like $50. It's a kid's play toy, but it works in the same spectrum. I almost bought one time, but I didn't. And you can look at your clothes. You can lay them out on the bed at night and see more or less how the deer would see you. And if it has any shred of polyester in it, it will glow bright white. And if you have the wrong kind of detergent, even if it's the right material and it's the right dye, but it's the wrong detergent, it'll still glow bright white. So, you know, that's how the military can get some of these insurgents so quickly, because they just see them sticking out like a sore thumb in the middle of the night. Now, the desert at night glows white. So in the desert at night, you want to have something that's going to glow white so you blend in. But here, you know, you don't want that. So apparently that's what I read, Tom. I've never actually looked through night vision, but that's what I read. Hire me for what? Oh, guide? I won't let you buy that expensive camouflage, I can tell you that. They want an arm and a leg for that stuff, and it does not work. It looks good to human eyes. It's a $20 billion industry, camouflage. And it does not work. That shatters people's hopes and dreams, too. Yeah, they must. They want to have the coolest hip thing. Hey, great one, Harold. Thank you. Didn't think of that. Anything else? Right, right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and you hit like on all of them or whatever? Yeah. I don't know much about Facebook etiquette. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, can you put it out there too much? Oh, okay. Okay. Right, I gotcha. Well, I don't think you can do that on Facebook because I don't think it's possible to step over the line that way on Facebook because everybody is pushing their cause left and right. And I mean, Twitter, people tweet every minute what they believe in or what they think. So I don't think online you can do that. But in real life, if you are just constantly telling people over and over, like multiple times per day, it could come across as sort of holier than thou. I heard a story of this was from years and years ago, a girl from my college, there was a testimony time, and she stood up and said, I was fired from my job, and, you know, but the Lord still helped me this summer, and I was fired because I was a Christian, and we sort of got the rest of the story. Apparently, she was a grocery store clerk, and she was telling everybody every minute throughout the day, every person that came by, that she was a Christian and that she loved Jesus, and she had a Bible there. And I just thought in my head, well, I would have got fired too because you're supposed to be there to bag groceries, you know? So, you know, I always picture that as kind of someone who stepped over the line in that area. But she didn't catch it. It sort of went over her head, but there's other times when I would say we're more offending the other way. We don't tell people enough that we're a Christian and that we're different. Would you agree with that? Right. Well, yeah, I'm saying in real life, I would say a lot of us are more offending the other way. We keep it quiet. And instead of speaking out. So it's hard for me to tell you not to do it. Yeah, go ahead, speak out, especially on Facebook. Right. Yeah, I gotcha. I don't know if I was able to answer your question at all, but Ron.
And there was a pastor that I knew in Montana that in this little restaurant there, everybody knows everybody and all of their business. But the way he was described is his religion was about a mile out in front of him. So I think you have to be careful of that also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that too. People have said that they won't deal with a Christian contractor because they always end up doing something wrong or bad. Yeah, I've heard that before in the business world. Mm-hmm. And I tried to tell people, well, they may just say they're a Christian just thinking it'll get them more business, and they're really not, but then it sort of hurts the testimony. Did I see another hand over there, Tom?
Thank you.
Oh, I think there's a lot of big churches that are pretty well blended. There's some big churches that they say 40% of the attenders are children under 18. So, you know, yeah, well, I don't, maybe you haven't gone to a hip and cool church. Here's, for instance, one of the churches that my wife and I have personally been into. It's all black and dark, and there was doors, and as soon as we opened the doors, smoke was rolling through, and there was strobe lights and lights, and the lights were so bright that the people on the stage, you couldn't even see their faces. You just saw their outline, and, you know, that was cool or something like that, and then sometimes you listen to the messages of some of these places, and it's sort of an inch deep, and there's no real depth there. And if there's no real depth when these kids, students, go off to college, if they do, or into the workplace, the professors, many of them, their stated goal is to turn all their students into atheists. And then if they go into the workforce, there's evil people out there whose stated goal is to corrupt you. I had somebody tell me that. They said, my goal is to corrupt you this summer. And, you know, stuff like that. So there was a guy I went to college with. I'm not a young man. I always say young man. We're in our 30s now. But he must be in his late 30s. He was a couple years ahead of me. And I've seen some pictures of his church services and video, and it's just like that. And he had 150 high school students there, but you just wonder how many of them have depth in their relationship with the Lord. So we really want to push students that way. And I guess I'd rather have 5 or 6 students who are deep than 150 who are all going to walk away. I've seen huge crowds in youth ministry, 50, 60, 70 kids. And even here, you know, 10 years ago, even here, we had 50, 60 kids. None of those are still here. And unfortunately, we weren't given that much entertainment here neither. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's entertainment. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, Tom. Go ahead. What? Oh, anointed. Oh, that phrase is probably a couple decades old. People have different meanings. Some churches, more Pentecostal, they even will wipe oil on your face. I was at some youth training thing about 12 years ago, and the guy walked around with this oil and put a dot on my head. I was just worried I was going to get a zit right there, and I wiped it off immediately. I didn't know what the guy was doing. But some people have even said to me, well, they listen to a sermon, they're like, oh, you've been anointed. So some people, it's as minor as, oh, we think you've been gifted by the Holy Spirit. And then there's others that are very extreme, thinking, oh, you got to have the anointing of the Spirit. It's some kind of mystical experience. And that's, if they mean that, they're a little bit out there, in my opinion. So, Dave. We're trying to be. We're trying to be hip and cool, on the cutting edge. I thought I saw another one.
Can I speak about our kids a little bit?
Sure.
This is just my opinion. I feel personally what's going on here is that we have people who had left the church that were younger, and the ones that stayed were older, and I think we lost a lot of our youth at that time. And I personally have not seen
And typically, the research shows if they stop going to church in that college time frame, they don't come back again until they're in their 40s. Well, yeah, they'll be off by then. By the way, I want you, if you are able, to walk down the steps and go look at the edge room. I don't know if you remember it when it looked like the dingy basement, but it's coming around. It's looking a lot better. Kelly and Mike Eby and Jeannie Sarter and some others have put a lot of time and effort, and Caleb, into that room. So go look at it and thank the Lord for it. And the other end of the elementary area, we're planning on doing some painting and some updating in there too. So I would encourage you to go look at it. We want to have really nice facilities for the children. And we don't want that, something as simple as paint and decor, to be a detractor. And I did hear reports from those that do the fifth and sixth grade class on Wednesday night, that the kids behaved better, that they were excited, that they were like claiming the room as their own. And I heard great things. So, you know, we can do some small things like that to hopefully keep kids. So, but should we close with our last song? Is there a song? Bring that up, I guess. And He gave us life, what more could He give? So we can give a little bit of us because He gave so much.